What it is, what it do, Cyber World. It is your girl, the one, the only, Ash Said It. AshSaidIt.com, AshSaidIt.com. Welcome to the Ash Said It Daily Podcast Show. I appreciate you guys for all of your love and support. Over 1,700 episodes and 500,000 streams worldwide. None of this would be possible without you guys, so I thank you so very, very much. I appreciate you guys for everything that you have been just showering us with, all the love, all the thoughts and the prayers, and everything has been really helpful as we're still dealing with a pandemic situation, a global pandemic. And today I've got with me Dr. Jennings. Hi, Dr. Jennings.
Hello, Ash. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, Dr. Jennings, you are a psychiatrist, correct?
That's right.
All right. And so this has probably been one of your biggest nightmares as far as dealing with a situation on this kind of global scale. Now, how has the pandemic been affecting our mental state?
Well, there is the virion, or the little molecule itself that infects people's bodies, and then there is all of the fear and worry and interventions and life disruptions and loss of income and family separation that isolates us from our support systems and inflames our anxieties and worries. And those have a cascading negative effect on our mental, emotional, and relational well-being.
Yes. Now, I would imagine that you've seen quite the bit of an increase in appointments with a lot of your patients.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Some people who have, before this, social anxieties and have been able to work from home have actually enjoyed to be able to work from home and to go out with a mask on to, because they had anxieties about social interaction. So they've actually appreciated this. Others, though, who are much more social butterflies and enjoy the people, have been very distressed and distraught over the social isolation.
Yes. Now, what would you suggest for people that are still dealing with, you know, because certain parts of the world, you know, here in the U.S., we've got the vaccines that are going pretty good, pretty strong, but there are still parts of the world that are still dealing with the pandemic on a less of a resolved state, I would say, and a lot of them are not getting the vaccine as of yet. So what can we do to change the way that our brains react to these stressful situations?
So the things that historically are helpful to us dealing with stress remain helpful dealing with us in stress. And those things would be the healthy lifestyle, maintaining good sleep. If we're sleep deprived, we don't handle stress as well. Healthy food choices. If we're nutritionally deprived, we don't handle stress as well. Having a good sounding board support system relationship. So maintaining healthy marriages, good friendships, your peer support group, your church group, whatever, where you've found that support, maintaining those friendships and relationships are also very helpful. Getting and unplugging your mind from the fear-inducing messaging that only seems to upset you and distress you without providing you beneficial information that can help resolve the potential threats. Just don't feed that stuff to yourself over and over again, and instead make healthy lifestyle decisions, get out, go for walks in nature. These types of things have been shown to help reduce cortisol levels, activating your reduction of activation of your brain's fear circuitry, and overall health benefits.
Gotcha. So would you suggest that maybe sometimes people unplugging from social media maybe can help a little bit?
Yeah, if their social media platform is primarily a support system,
right.
And some of my patients have a support community, so it's a restricted social platform, a members-only forum, for instance, where they share and network and support and help each other, that might be beneficial. Mm-hmm. But the larger landscape of the media environment tends to be very much fear-inducing messaging and trying to limit yourself from exposure to that.
Gotcha. Are there any suggestions that you have maybe for people as far as getting more sleep, be it that we're still dealing with a lot of anxiety and just a lot of nervousness?
So things that are helpful for sleep is are first to establish sleep-wake routines.
Okay.
That you go to bed at approximately the same time and get up approximately the same time, whether you work or not work. That's extremely helpful for people. Avoiding stimulants that can interfere with sleep the closer you get to bedtime. The bright light at night can interfere with sleep. The other things that can be beneficial is to understand what normal sleep is. And normal sleep is not, I go to sleep at a certain time and I sleep solidly through 8 hours and wake up 8 hours later. Mm. Normal sleep is there are periodic wake-ups through the night that are natural. And if they happen naturally and you're able to get back to sleep within a few minutes, then you don't worry about that and you allow that to happen without distress. People, when they begin worrying about, I'm waking up all night, I can't sleep, that distress or worry actually interferes with sleep when those wake-ups are actually natural.
Gotcha. Now, I heard a study earlier this week that said something around the lines of about 74% of Americans are fully vaccinated. What do you feel is maybe keeping a lot of Americans from getting the vaccination?
Well, there's a lot of concerns related to multiple levels.
Right.
One, the illness itself has a... in any population group, there's never 99% of everybody survives it, so it's not that life-threatening for the vast majority.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're under 25, the data would show that the seasonal flu is 75 times more lethal to the group under age 25 than the COVID-19 is.
Yeah.
Additionally, the FDA has it under an emergency use authorization, designated officially as an experimental biologic agent, rather than authorizing it as an official vaccine with all the protections that come under a vaccine. So I think just the way it's been rolled out by the government sends a signal to some people that maybe there's something going on here that isn't typical for most vaccines. And so I think people have concerns. And then when questions arise, medical ethics questions that in any other medical illness that's ever been addressed, it's a robust, open dialogue of discussion. What are the evidence show? What are the concerns? What are the risks? What are the benefits, et cetera? That those types of conversations are aggressively suppressed. And those types of aggressive suppression of just honest dialogue and investigation to help allay people's fears tend to warn certain people off that why do we have to silence the investigation and questions? If it's really so beneficial, it would be self-evident. Everybody would want it, like the polio vaccine. Everybody wants the polio vaccine.
Right. That's a good point. Very, very good point.
Yeah, there are other inconsistencies as well. For instance, you've had the polio vaccine, and I don't know if you know the history of polio, but it comes from drinking polluted water or infected water and dirt sources and so forth.
Right.
But once you've been vaccinated and immunized for polio, you don't have to fear if you drink out of a water fountain that's contaminated. You're completely protected. Why are we sending messages that if you haven't had the vaccine, that you can't go places around people who have been vaccinated? What are the people who have been vaccinated to fear from the people who haven't? They should be completely protected. And the fact that they send this constant message that if you don't get it, you can't go places, it sends an inconsistent message to the people. Well, then why? If I've been protected because I have mine, why do I need to worry about people who haven't?
Yeah, and it's just there's a lot of, like you said, inconsistencies with it. And also now they're saying that, you know, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to worry about a mask anymore, and then you're good. And I'm like, but it's still out there. there's still a possibility that you could get it. Me personally, I've been going everywhere with my mask just for my own personal safety, just for my state of mind. But I know that there are a lot of people. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and a lot of people here, they got the vaccination, and they're just like, okay, we're back to normal. Everything's cool. So I think people need to really make sure that they're doing what's best for their household and their family, but the amount of inconsistencies that are out there as far as information on the vaccine and, outcomes and the effectiveness of it, they're still kind of laying in the balance there, Dr. Jennings.
And that's why we have so much fear and anxiety. We're talking about how we resolve that. Consistent evidence-based messaging that is demonstrable over time reduces fear.
Mm-hmm.
But messaging that goes waffles back and forth, don't need a mask, need a mask, don't need a mask, need a mask, and we never seem to have predictability, that makes people more uncertain and raises anxiety.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Jennings, thank you so much for coming through and giving us some of your insight. We appreciate all of that from you.
Thank you for having me, Ash.
Not a problem. Let everyone know if they need to reach out for you for anything or to follow you across social media, how do they need to get in contact with you?
Our website is comeandreason.com.
We appreciate that. Much more success. I definitely would love to have you back when there's new stuff. I know that there's going to be all kinds of things popping up in the next couple of months. Definitely would love to have you come back and get a little bit more of your expertise.
Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. I appreciate each and every one of you guys. Thank you so much for all of your love and support. Keeping in mind, anyone to tell you that you can't do what you want to do. You look them square in the face. You tell them, don't believe me. Just watch. Watch what I do. Watch me make it happen. Watch me make history. That's what we're doing this for, the history books. Social media is nice, but real life is so much better. Until next time, you guys.